All right, let's turn tonight to the book of Jude. First of all, Jude, little book before Revelation. And you might as well go put a finger in Leviticus 11 as well. We won't read that one just immediately, but a piece of paper or something. Leviticus 11. Okay, Jude, start reading with verse 17. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I call your attention to verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you tonight. It's been a full weekend, really. We had a change of plans, but that's made it fuller for some than it was going to be. And there were, of course, nursing homes that went off today, and folks ministered there. Lord, we are grateful for you giving us something to do. We don't just sit around idle. Glad to have something that does make a difference for somebody's life. I pray you might shed some light on that passage here tonight for us. It probably means in some regards what we think, but there's something deeper to it as well. So I pray you'd give us help tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so you'll find an awful lot of people who try to do and they dream about doing verse 22. And if some have compassion, I notice just particularly making a difference. If you went out in the world and started asking people in survey the reason they became cops or firemen, I've heard lawyers say the same thing. Certainly, if you ask a sincere politician, he's probably going to tell you the same thing. And of course, then you can get off into the left-wing wacky stuff too. But most of those folks, there's going to be a high degree of them that say they went into those professions because they desired to make a difference. Okay? And that's reasonable. I want you to know that I'm not here tonight to denigrate that phrase as we naturally kind of understand it. You do understand, though, that environmental wackos and PETA people and all kinds of other people are trying to make a difference too. It's just that that phrase means 100 things to 100 different people. And I'm sure that Charlie Kirk's killer thought he was making a difference. Yep. Right? And so I want to address this for a little while because as we understand that, I mean, I'm in the wrong vocation if I don't want to make a difference. And what are you doing here if you don't want to make a difference? And so, I mean, I understand that it would seem that that would be the charter of the church, of Christianity, of a Christian ministry. But I know that if I could make a difference spiritually for somebody, that would be 50, 100, 200, 1,000-fold more precious and treasureful, if that's a word, than somebody that's just going into it for politics. Right? So that phrase rung my bell, making a difference, because I want to make a difference, and you probably do. You want to make a difference for your kids, and you would love to convert your families to Jesus Christ, because that would make a difference. I understand that. Like I said, the problem is that for every transgender transitioner, they think they're going to make a difference too. So That it all goes from something genuine, sincere, to something totally wacky. And we need to address that. So I did what Bible believers do, or what should do anyway. I went to the Bible to find out what making a difference meant. And I'm not denigrating the way we've talked about it already, because like I said, what are we doing if we're not trying to make a difference the way we understand it? But I'm trying to get across that there's some deeper meaning here than maybe you realize, and maybe we need to look at that, and so we certainly will. We find out what the Bible means by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We determine what the Bible means when we go compare words with words, and since the Lord has given us particular individual words, we can do that. And so I'm going to preach tonight on making a difference, because I noticed when I started looking into it, there are only two verses in the Bible where a difference is made. And you're looking, of course, at one here. And like I said, I imagine when you read the passage, you naturally think of it and kind of interpret it in your mind the way that we commonly use it. Like I said, somebody becomes a cop because they want to make a difference. Somebody becomes a lawyer or a politician because they think they can make a difference. And I'm not denigrating that. I'm just saying there may be something deeper here in the Bible than you think. And the only other place that this occurs is in Leviticus chapter 11, which I had you turn to. Leviticus chapter 11. And this passage is about clean and unclean animals. Now, this is under the law. And I hope that you won't stumble when I say that we're not under the law. In determining the difference between clean and unclean animals, whether you can eat them or not, that's not a concern for us. The Lord gave us every creature to chew on and swallow as long as we can give thanks for it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, amen, because lobster and shrimp are right up there near the top for me.
Amen.
But it does give some light here, because Leviticus chapter 11, down near the end of the passage, if you will, verse 46. Now, this is the heart of the law. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ died to crucify for us. So we have no concern really about Sabbaths and these type of ordinances, but it still gives us help with regard to what the phrase means. Because he says in verse 46, "This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten." So there's a difference there that's made between an unclean beast, a clean beast, one that may be eaten, one that may not be eaten, one for that matter that may be offered in Levitical law on sacrifice, and one that may not, right? And so with that in mind, praise the Lord, rise, Peter, kill and eat. That's not an issue for us, but still it'll help you with the phrasing. Gladly, we're no longer under the law, but making a difference. First of all, you see, just using the Bible the way that Leviticus uses it, that making a difference is in the Bible. Now, it's strictly in the Bible. In the other place where the phrase is used, it's putting a difference. It's establishing that there's something different from that to that. And you go to Jude and you read, oh, making a difference. Oh, yeah, I want to join the environmental wacko movement and make a difference and hug a tree. I don't know if that's what it's talking about or not. I grant you that, I'd be in this vocation and really uncomfortable if I wasn't trying to make a difference for somebody. And so I'm not denigrating the use of the phrase that way, the way we normally talk. I'm trying to deepen our understanding of what the Bible's talking about. Since you're in Leviticus, and of course I closed my Leviticus, so maybe you did too, but Leviticus, we read chapter 11, let's look at chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10 real quick. And you'll notice in Leviticus 10 and verse 10. Oh, let's start with verse 9. Do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when thou go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. The Old Testament priests were not allowed to drink any sort of wine, including new wine, grape juice, while they ministered in the tabernacle. So if you want to make a little bit of a application, we are a holy priesthood unto God, the priesthood of believers. And you're in the temple 100% of the time. You have no business drinking. For an application. I just thought I'd let you know. Okay, but I want to keep reading here. Verse 9. So don't go into the tabernacle and drink, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And all I'm saying here is that it may very well be, considering how the Bible interprets itself, that the making a difference in Jude 11 is all about putting a difference, establishing the difference, recognizing, differentiating between holy and unholy, things that are right, things that are wrong. Putting a difference. To differentiate, to make a difference, basically by putting a difference, by establishing clear lines, by, I don't know if I dare say the word, I might get shot, discriminating. I'm not talking about racially. I'm telling you, you have to discriminate between a red light and a green light. If you don't, you're going to die. But maybe making a difference is putting a difference. Exposing something, exposing the right, exposing the wrong, shedding light on what is right and what is wrong. Making sure that the differences are known. I think that a lost guy needs to know the difference between me and him. He's lost and I'm saved. And I'm doing him a tremendous disservice and disobeying Ezekiel 3 and 18 if I don't try to get news to him that if he doesn't get his sins right with God, he's going to go to hell. He doesn't receive Christ, he's going to go to hell. So effectively, a witness, that's what a witness does. He puts a difference. You're going to see later, that's what a prophet does. A prophet puts a difference. He acknowledges the difference between this and this. And according to Leviticus, that is what making a difference is. It's putting a difference. Things that are different are not the same. Girls are not boys. And boys are not girls. And they don't get the switch. Because they're different. That is the dead cat that hangs around the neck of a Bible believer to the world. Because we're always, the sound witness is always Bible thumping. He's always judging. He's always preaching. He's always bringing up uncomfortable subjects, sometimes at the supper table. And, you know, it just gets really bad because we don't want to hear that. If I wanted to hear that, I'd go to your church. Well, you don't come to my church, so I'll go out and tell you out there. Amen. But making a difference biblically, I'm not denigrating the way we use it and think of it. You know, if I were a doctor, I would want to make a difference in somebody's life who's sick. Don't have a problem with that usage. But strictly speaking, biblically, making a difference is you putting a difference. You establishing verbally that there's a difference between that and that. After all, you are the light of the world. Right? He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But after he's gone, you're it. And the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But I'm supposed to be the salt of the earth. I'm supposed to be the light of the world. I'm supposed to be an ambassador for our God in this world. And as an ambassador, I'm supposed to stand and in the stead of Christ and tell folks what's so. Well, what is that? That's making a difference by establishing what the differences are. It's really just that. So that brings me to point number two. You cannot make a difference avoiding the sin issue. Look back to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And I realize that again in the heart of Leviticus that we're dealing with law here. Those are laws that we do not operate under anymore. We are under liberty and grace. It doesn't mean we live any way we want to. But we don't have to worry about what day we worship. We don't have to worship on a Sabbath. And it doesn't matter if it's a holy day or not. You can do what you want to on some of the Jewish holy days. Don't get off into all that stuff. Sabbaths and food and weather. The calf was killed kosher or not. It does not matter for us. But it still establishes that the Lord at different times in history does want differences established between what's holy and what's not holy. And so you have in Leviticus, 10 first? Leviticus 10:10. We just read it a little while ago, realize, and that you may put a difference, verse 10, between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. Leviticus 20, real fast. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 25, where he says, "Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean. You shall not make your souls abominable by beast, or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean." So I know that's the heart of the law, but there's something that's plain. He's talking about holy and unholy. You can't make a difference by avoiding the sin issue. Now, in modern Christianity, that's what they're trying to do. They don't like naming it. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was not bashful. He had a woman in John 4 in his hand. I mean, he said, they were talking about water, and she smarted off, and he convinced her that he had the living water. She said, "Lord, give me that living water." If he had been a fundamentalist preacher, they would have been praying on the instant. They would have been on their knees praying. But instead, he said, "Go get your husband." And she said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "Well, you've well said, because you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband." And that changed the whole course of the conversation, because all of a sudden, you know, it was all kind of friendly from the start, but now it ain't friendly no more. Now he knows secrets about me, right? But did you see what he did there? He established a difference between the holy and the unholy. He made her face her sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is not bashful about sin. And I'm laying this out for you tonight so that you can know that you cannot make the kind of difference a Christian should make if you try to avoid the sin issue. When we straight preach, we go out for 30 minutes, I probably cite John 3:16 five or six times in 30 minutes. And usually that's received with passivity by the public. But if I say, "The wicked shall be cast into hell and all the nations that forget God," if I then say, "Christ is, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Mary can't help you." All of a sudden somebody goes, and then they fly the birds at me. And it's usually not like this. Sometimes I don't get the flock of birds. The flock of birds is nice. Hey, praise the Lord. Usually that's not the one I get. I'm usually number one. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, there's an awful lot of the Bible you can preach, and, you know, if it doesn't nail sin down hard, people are okay with it. But boy, you start nailing down self-righteousness and adultery and some other things. And, you know, I'm not saying that you just go around naming people's sins all the time, but, you know, that's when things get a little dicey, right? Because you're putting a difference. You're establishing what somebody should be versus what they are. And I just want to say, you cannot make a difference biblically avoiding the sin issue. Sin is the difference. It's what separates a man from God. And it's what separates somebody in fellowship with God from somebody that's a Christian that's really not in fellowship. It's sin. It's sin. The world wishes to avoid the question of sin altogether. And the flesh wishes to avoid the question of sin altogether. Oftentimes the Christians want to avoid the question of sin altogether. And you can't do it and make a difference. Because part of the issue is you need to be doing this, but you're doing this. And there's a difference. It's that simple. Now, let me show you something else about this that's worth mentioning. In Exodus chapter 11, the Lord is laying out what's going to happen as the children of Israel go towards the Passover. And eventually Pharaoh is going to let them go, so he's giving them some forewarning as they build up to that night when they're all supposed to be packed up and they leave Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 11, verse 7, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that he may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Okay. People know how we should run our ministry. "Well, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar." Oh, that's deep. I never thought about that. Right? We used to preach down at a beach on the back of Barney's truck, and we would do drive-by preaching. We'd drive through the beach down there in Shoreview and preach at the folks at the beach. You know, we'd preach at various folks. And I remember one time preaching off the back of the truck. Everybody's out there in the middle of summer, all their clothes off and stuff. Fine, help yourself. But preaching, and one guy comes barreling at us, you know, in his bathing suit, and he goes, "Hey, wrong approach! Wrong approach!" I said, "Don't approach me. You're a half-naked man. Get away from me." Exactly what is the right approach, right? But the point is, you know, you said people say, you can't build a church on Bible preaching. You just can't do Bible, Bible, Bible. You've got to entertain them. You need some laser lights and you need music. You need a live band, because otherwise people get bored. You can't do it the way you're trying to do it. They're the experts. And what the Lord said here was something interesting along those lines, because, you know, people will say, you know, nobody's a man of God that calls people names. Well, Jesus called people names. And Elijah called people names. And I understand totally that you can, you know, it can get away from you. I totally get that. But the simple point is, what I'd like to say is the power of God makes the real difference. In this passage, verse 11, Exodus, "Against any of the children of Israel, when I get ready to send you out of Israel, Egypt, on Passover night, there is not going to be a dog that moves his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." The power of God makes the real difference. Now, it's your job to just establish that there is a difference. And it's my job to stand and preach, and it's your job to witness to your friends and your family and your workmates, and try to go out in public and do all that you can to save a dying world. And you do that by showing them the truth versus error. You got to say, Mary can't help you. And if you're praying to Mary, that's called necromancy in the Bible. You're praying to dead people. We don't pray to dead people. We pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Neither of them are dead. Okay? Put a difference between what salvation is versus a Eucharist, where a pope or a priest, or a pope too, but a priest stands, and when the bell rings, he snaps the cracker. And at that moment, that cracker is transformed, transubstantiated into the body of Jesus Christ. So you come down here and eat of this while it's fresh, and you'll be saved until it passes through your system. Boy, that is the good news of Jesus Christ, isn't it? I know people get upset because it doesn't come across in church like that, in Catholic churches like that, but that's what they believe. You need to read more if you're going to argue with me on this. You need to read more. You need to look into it because that's what they believe. Now, what I'm saying about that, folks, is that I don't control what dogs do. And can you imagine, I mean, a bunch of dogs in Egypt, and you know how dogs are in a neighborhood? You know, some noise goes off, and one dog starts barking, then there's three, and then there's 50, right? Okay, well, here you are in Egypt, and all this weird stuff is going on, and, you know, the dogs sense things, I suppose, that men don't, and a whole bunch of the firstborn start dying in Egypt. And mothers start wailing, and daddies start crying, and the dogs start barking because this is weird. And one dog starts barking. If there's one dog, there's 1,000 dogs barking. Only in Egypt, that's not what happened on Passover. On Passover night, the children of Israel walked out with no dogs barking. The Lord said, I'll take care of the barking dogs. He says, there's not going to be a dog that moves its tongue the night that you leave Egypt. My point is, the Lord told the dogs to shut up. Okay? I couldn't even shut my own dog up when I had one. Big old mutt, he would bark and bark, and I'd walk up and slap him, he'd just keep on barking. Stubborn as a mule, man. So I don't control whether people believe. It's my job to give the message. It's my job to make the difference. And then the Lord differentiates in His own time by the power of God. So that the Israelites can leave Egypt without a single dog barking. The dogs just laying there with their faces and their paws just watching it happen. And they dare not say a thing. I learned from that the power of God is what makes the real difference. I can't control results. I was taught in school I couldn't control results. So I haven't tried to control results. And so when you start saying, well, you can attract more flies with honey than vinegar, well, I'm not trying to attract flies. I'm trying to get folks converted or growing, and it's by the truth that's supposed to happen. It's preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Effectively, put a difference between what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's false, what's hellish and what's heavenish. Make sure that they know the difference and leave it up to me to give you the results. And so I think that's a great lesson. So, making a difference is effectively, for our part, putting a difference, establishing openly the difference between right and wrong. Truth and error, light and darkness, right? You cannot make a difference avoiding the sin issue, which is one of the main themes of how to build a church today. Don't mention sin. Just don't deal with it, right? Make everybody feel good. Make sure everybody leaves feeling better about themselves than when they came. And the Lord will bless you. I don't think so. I don't think so. Thirdly, the power of God makes the real difference. The Lord controlled whether the dogs barked or not. The Lord controlled. The Lord brings forth the fruit, not me. And incidentally, not you.
Amen.
I'm sorry, it's not in your system.
Right.
It's not in how you do things. It's not in your excellent way with people. I mean, you could sell a refrigerator to an Eskimo because you're so good with people. Well, are they really getting converted? If that's how you're doing it. If it's all you, then are they really getting converted? Because it takes the power of God. You know that. Okay, I want to show something else. I'm sorry, back to Leviticus chapter 10 for just a second. There is something there that's worth taking note of. Leviticus chapter 10. And once again, verse 9. Do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy. Okay, a godly example makes a difference. A godly example is a powerful thing. Parents, your kids need a godly example. They need an example of somebody who makes the right differences. They need to see their mother and father do right and not do wrong. And this is the kind of music we listen to. And this is the kind of music that we don't listen to. These are the kind of jokes that we laugh at. These are not the kind of jokes that we laugh at. They need you to be consistent. They need to see you live this under pressure. A godly example makes a difference. Wanted to point out to you something else. Look in Ezekiel, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22. Now again, I'm not denouncing somebody that becomes a police officer because they want to make a difference. I get it. You ought to want to make a difference in your family spiritually because of the riches that you have. So I'm not denouncing that. I am trying to give you a deeper view of the Bible that making a difference really is you establishing the difference between light and darkness, right and wrong. That you be that witness, that you be that preacher, that you be that parent that makes sure that you put a difference between right and wrong. In Ezekiel chapter 22, if you'll notice down in verse 20, 25, you'll notice something. 22, 25, Ezekiel. There is a conspiracy of her prophets. Talking about Israel's prophets. There's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. That's what a false preacher does. That's what a false prophet does. That's what a preacher that doesn't know the gospel does. He may be humanistic. He may be loquacious. He may have lots of words. He may be eloquent. And he may love people. That doesn't mean he's got the truth. And it says down in verse 25, they have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law, have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. I am profaned among them. Now again, we recognize that we are not under law. Okay, so some of the stuff about Sabbaths and clean and unclean animals is not applicable to us. Okay. But at the same time, you get the clear spiritual picture that you are supposed to establish the difference between holy and unholy. Amen. Something that's profane plus versus something that should be special to you. Something that is holy. And he says that you've not put a difference there. Now he goes on down, if you will, in verse 28, there's an interesting thing said. And notice what these prophets have done. Let me read verse 27 too. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, saying vanity, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. Okay, and it says the prophets, those false prophets, have daubed, you know, daubed them with untempered mortar. Now, there's some insight in that if you'll go back to Ezekiel 13. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it, but this is what it's all about. Ezekiel 13. He said the problem was that they've made no difference. And in making no difference, they have daubed them with untempered mortar. And that's what we're going to look at for just a second. Look in 13:10. This whole passage is about false prophets. They, in verse 2, prophesy out of their own hearts, following their own spirits. Verse 3, they have seen nothing. Verse 3. But they're still running their mouths as if they have. They have seen vanity, lying divination, verse 6, vain visions, lying divinations, verse 7 and verse 8, vanity. They have seen lies in verse 8, verse 9. Mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies, he says. You go down to verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there is no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. And so what he's talking about here is prophets that are trying to do something, but it's not the truth. They're not true prophets like Elijah and like Isaiah and Jeremiah. And what they're doing is telling people what they want to hear. And so we have today teachers having itching ears. Would you scratch right there? Because that's where I itch. Tell me what I want to hear. Prophesy smooth things. Prophesy deceits, says Isaiah. Okay? And he calls that in this passage, daubing them with untempered mortar. And untempered mortar is mortar that you call mortar, but it's just sand and mud. Or sand and a little bit of clay. There's no cement in it. And so when it dries out, you've put that between the bricks and then daubed at the holes. It's just going to fall off because there's no concrete in it. It's not tempered with any concrete, with what makes mortar hard. See, that's what you prophets are like. You're always telling lies. You're always seeing things. You're always so encouraging. You're always so positive, but you don't fix anything because you will not put a difference. You will not tell people the difference between what's right and what's wrong. I gave you a Bible and you changed my Bible, and now you're citing 300 different Bibles as if they were legitimate, and they're not legitimate. There's no power in them. They soften everything and they can't help you. You stand up and preach multiple times a week, and Joel Osteen, you have nothing to say.
Yeah, that's right.
You are a waste of oxygen. I don't know why I gave you vocal cords. Because you never say anything worth hearing. It's lies. It's untruth. You're daubing with untempered mortar. You're throwing stuff at the wall, hoping it'll stick for 3 minutes until you can get out of the room. And then they fall back apart. And so a charismatic, a Pentecostal goes to church and it's all fixed. Oh, I'm healed. Glory to God on Sunday. And on Monday, I'm broke again. Because they've been daubed with untempered mortar. It's not anything that stays. It's not a real solution. And so I want to say, beware of substitutes for making a difference. AA is not as good as getting right with God. It's just not. Going to a Bible study where a charismatic lady is leading the Bible study. is not as good as going to a Bible-believing church. But she understands women's problems. I have a Bible. I understand women's problems. I'm just not very sensitive about it. And you want somebody that'll cry and whimper and whine with you about it. And it's so hard being a woman. You want somebody like that. That's not what you need. There is no woman in the Bible, in the New Testament, that's ordained to preach anything. She's called to keep her mouth shut around her husband and ask him what he thinks. I'm not trying to beat up on ladies here. I'm just saying, there's a way of doing this right and there's a way of doing it wrong. And the newfangled methods, it's daubing at walls with untempered mortar. And you throw it up against the wall and it sticks for a while, but as soon as it dries, it's going to fall off. And it certainly has no structural integrity. So beware the substitutes for making a difference. Because that's what the Lord said. You prophets have not made a difference. You've not put a difference between things. And all you've done is you just daubed over things and it looks pretty until it dries and then flakes off. Go back to Jude 20, and I'm almost done here. Jude 20. I just wanted you to see that, you know, you find a phrase like this, and it makes sense to me. Some have compassion making a difference, and so I want to make a difference, and so I'll try to make a difference this way. This makes the most sense to me how I might make a difference. And you've got to be careful with that because that phrase means 50 things to 50 different people. And you haven't defined anything by the Bible yet. Now, what I've done is taken you back and shown you in the Old Testament what making a difference was. And it revolves around putting a difference and establishing there is a difference. And here's the difference. Here's the difference between those two things. Here's the differentiation. Here's a discernment between what is right and what is wrong. Okay? All right, I just want to say from that perspective, if you go down to verse 20, verse 19, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now there's, so you're building yourself by prayer. Okay, you're building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The only other thing in the Bible that builds is in Acts chapter 20. You don't have to go there, but it's the word of His grace. There are two things that build a Christian, prayer and Bible. Okay? With prayer and Bible, okay, there is your relationship with God. If you want to make a difference, you need a right relationship with God. You're making a difference. Everything will depend upon you having a right relationship with God. And what the Lord's going to lead you to do is establish in your own life the difference between darkness and light, right and wrong. It's going to be differentiated. It's going to be separated. And then you're called to go and help your children, your family, your friends. And you're supposed to support your brethren in Christ in the same way. Verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. So it looks to me like there, if what I'm saying is right, you have to deal with some people one way and some people another. Some people are ready for compassion. Boy, some people at a funeral or with a baby sick in the hospital, they're not saved, but the time is not to go in there screaming and pointing fingers, right? The time is compassion there. But that's different sometimes than dealing with someone on the street who's hollering at you because you cited a verse on sodomy, right? I'm not talking about getting in a fist fight. I'm talking about there's a difference between dealing with somebody that's broken and dealing with somebody that's rebelling. There's a difference. So make a difference. The way you reach them differs. So reach out to them differently. Right? The modern Christian movement would have you just deal with everybody really soft. Be positive. Don't raise your voice. And for God's sake, don't quote the King James Bible. Quote the NEV or any other V, but just not that KJV. Anything but that. And just keep it soft and low. And don't be accusatory. The Jews are God's people without even needing to be converted. Had a guy tell me that at the fair. It's a common thing. There are people commonly think that because the Bible says that the Jews as a nation are God's people, that there are no Jews that even need to be saved. We shouldn't even try to convert them. See, you're supposed to be real easy. Real easy. And that's not what you find any of the prophets are. You find those prophets standing up on their back two legs and putting a difference. Difference between the holy and the unholy, right and wrong. The converted, the unconverted. Those that need to repent and those that are right with God. And so that's my offering here tonight. We ought to be able to make a difference. But as much as we understand that, yes, I want to make a difference in people's lives in a common way that we normally think about it. Biblically speaking, making a difference is defined as establishing the difference between light and darkness. Amen. Holy and unholy. You make a difference by putting a difference. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, good to be here.